I want us to turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Jeremiah and the chapter 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to read a few verses from the words of verse number 10, just a few verses from verses 10 to verse 14, that is Jeremiah, and the chapter 29 and verses 10 to verse 14. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. And we pray that God will bless our hearts even as we meditate upon the word of the Lord. Can I just say that seminar for the addiction awareness seminar is on Saturday the 16th of September. Do take that, please, in your heart and mind, commencing at 10:30 to 12:30. That's the morning session, and then 1:30 to 4 p.m., and there'll be eatables in between. Take that, please, upon your heart. Jeremiah and the chapter 29, verse number 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Let's keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word today. And we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou will deal with our hearts. Realize, our God, our Heavenly Father, how that we need a touch from Thee. And Lord, I pray that You'll soften the hearts of Your people, that You'll break our hearts, Lord, before Thee. And Lord, we ask of Thee, having broken them and taken away the rebellion of our hearts, that Thou wilt heal them, that Thou wilt mend them, and that Thou wilt, our God, make us the people that You want us to be. Oh God, we've been singing the words of that hymn, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that that may be the cry of our hearts, that, Lord, that we might ask of Thee this day, that, Lord, let us see just exactly what Thou dost see. Take away the sham, take away, Lord, all the hypocrisy. Take away, our God, the appearances that, Lord, we would seek to show to others. And, Lord, let our lives appear as seen by Thine all-searching eyes. To mine, my way make clear. Lord, answer prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen. Now we've been studying in the life of Jeremiah, and we have noticed how that God raised him up for that day and for that generation. It was a time of crisis in the land, and Judah had grievously sinned against the Lord. And God had shown His grace in many ways, even in His rebuking of Judah for their sin. God was manifesting and God was showing His grace to them, and God was calling them back to repentance. And of course, when God does that for His people in the land of Judah, He's doing that to His people in this land of Ulster today. How that we need, in this United Kingdom and across this land, we need a visitation of God Himself. Now we noticed as we studied God's word concerning Jeremiah, not only the call of Jeremiah, but we noticed the substance of Jeremiah's preaching. And we have studied that, and we have sought to simply to tell you clearly that what Jeremiah, the substance of his preaching was this. He simply declared faithfully what God gave him. And that's so important that we remember that the message is not ours. It's not the preacher's message, or what has the preacher got to say. It's what has the Lord got to say. And it's great whenever you stand in the pulpit and you can announce. I remember what Dr. Paisley used to say, "I have a word from God for you." And friend, that is so important, to have a word from the Lord and come to God's word with that humility of heart and hear what God has got to say. So we have the substance of Jeremiah's preaching. And then we notice, secondly, the source of Jeremiah's persecution.
Because you see, not everybody liked what Jeremiah had to say. Indeed, in actual fact, the very opposite was true. As you study and read the book of Jeremiah, I commend it to you, how that in Jeremiah's day he suffered persecution. And friend, let me tell you, it costs to be faithful. It costs to be faithful to God. And you want to be faithful to God, it'll cost you. But I can tell you this, it costs to be unfaithful. It costs you more to be unfaithful. Look at the lives of men who are unfaithful to God and how that God had to step in and God had to judge them and God had to deal with them. Yes, it may cost us the favor of men if we are faithful to God. But I can tell you that's nothing to losing the blessing of God if we are unfaithful to Him. And so I exhort every child of God today, listen, forget about the favor of man, because I can tell you that will pass. They're with you today, away tomorrow. That will pass and everybody will experience that. But God never changes. He's the faithful God, the faithful one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now God, as we noticed in the study of God's word, God never misled his child about that persecution, because he told them exactly what he would have to face. And we looked at that in the first chapter, in the verses 17, verse 19 of the first chapter of Jeremiah. But we come then this morning, we're moving along from the substance of Jeremiah's preaching and the source of Jeremiah's persecution to the subject of Jeremiah's praying. And friend, that is the subject we want to look at, because what we find is this, that Jeremiah was a man of prayer. Now we sing the wee chorus, Daniel was a man of prayer and daily he prayed three times, even when he was cast in the den of lions. Yes, it's oh so easy to sing the wee choruses and my sing them at the top of your voice. But I asked you this, if Daniel was a man of prayer, if Elijah was a man of prayer, if Isaiah was a man of prayer, if Jeremiah was a man of prayer, what about you? What about you? What about me? Friend, let's be honest before God, and we sang the hymn, Search Me, O God. Now forget about the person sitting beside you. Let the Lord deal with your heart. Because let me tell you, my friend, there are many of God's people have lost out in the place of prayer. And I can tell you, lose out in the place of prayer, you lose out with God. You lose out with God. The person who walks with God is the person who talks with God. And we're not to forget the assembling. You say to me, well, listen, I just pray my own wee bit and I go away and I have my own wee time. Let me tell you, the Word of God says that's very, very good. And thank God you do that praying. And you must do that praying. But let me tell you, not forgetting the assembling of yourselves together. The church gathered together to pray. And how important it is. And I asked you before God this morning, how important is prayer in your life? How important is the place of prayer in your life? And when you study God's word, you'll find that the prophets were men of prayer. And they had power with God in prayer. But not only the prophets, let me tell you, the people of God were people of prayer. And the people of God had power with God in prayer. And how important it is that you and I realize the value and the virtue and the victory that there is in the place of prayer. Now, we find instruction and we find illustration with regard to our responsibility to pray in the day of crisis through the reading of the book of Jeremiah. Indeed, the prayers of Jeremiah are important. But friend, let me tell you, so it is in my life and so it is in your life. As I've said before, Jonathan Edwards said it was storming heaven by prayer. Hudson Taylor talked about transacting business with God in prayer. Well, what business have you transacted with God, friend? Have you done business with God? Because if you're saying, I've done business with God, and yet you have no burden for the place of prayer, I can tell you this, friend, the words are empty. The words are empty. Because you've got to transact business with God at the throne of grace in prayer. And how important it is that we seek the face of God in prayer. David Brainerd fell on his face in the snow and prayed so much and with such earnest fervor that it even melted the drifts of snow about him. I asked me this question. Tell me this. How much of a drift of snow would my prayer life melt? Let's be honest before God, friend. How fervent are we? Do we really do business? Are you battling on your knees? Because I can tell you, when you get to prayer, the devil will try to fight you. And the devil will come to stop you praying and to keep you away from the place of prayer. Because that is, we have often said it in the past, friend, it's the powerhouse of the church. It is the prayer meeting. And you, if you really believe that with all your heart, well, listen, are you in the powerhouse? Is that the place that you long to be? Is that the place you want to be? In actual fact, if you can't get to the prayer meeting, you say, I missed something special this week because I was not in the place of prayer. Evan Roberts, under whose anointed leadership the Welsh revival had its impetus, it said that he wore a hole through the rug that he was kneeling on, praying for the power of God. Imagine that. He wore a hole through the rug because of the time that he spent struggling and battling and transacting business with God in prayer for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Now, God has given us a great promise. Our brother McKee read it this morning. Look to Jeremiah chapter 33. Listen, here is a promise of God, friend. Why wouldn't you want to claim this promise? Friend, as we get together at the throne of grace and prayer, let me be honest before God. There are many who are lacking. See the prayer meeting before the church service, especially on a Sunday night before the preacher goes in to preach in the gospel evening service and battle with the devil and battle for souls. Friend, your place is empty. It's missing. You need to get the value. You need to get the victory of prayer because we say, much prayer, much blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. No prayer, no blessing. Well, I haven't heard those cliches. Haven't we heard those things just being dropped off of people's lips? And yet it doesn't bother. It doesn't bother God's people anymore. My friend, it ought to bother us. It ought to concern us. And so therefore, when we come to the Word of God, this is what it says, Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3, call unto me. That's what God says, call to me, call unto me. But thank God he gives a promise. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. If you want answers to prayer, friend, if you really want answers to prayer, then you've got to do business with God in prayer. You've got to call on to him. Now, that's not just simply saying, I'll just say, oh, Lord, please help us. Now, friend, let me tell you, whenever that situation is right, then God will answer that prayer. For example, do you remember whenever Peter was going down into the water, he said, Lord, bid me, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee in the water. And the Lord said to Peter, come. And the Peter stepped out of the water, and he was going to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Peter was going to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had stepped out of the boat, and a friend, his eyes were upon the Lord. And when he kept his eyes upon the Lord, let me tell you, he was able to walk upon the water. Why? Because Christ's invitation to Peter and his command to Peter was God's ability for Peter. He was able to walk in the water because it was the Lord who said to Peter, come unto me. So the Lord didn't say, Peter, step out in the water and sink. No, he didn't mean that. No, he said, come to me. He said, come. And so that was Peter's enablement. And friend, let me tell you, Peter could have walked to the Lord Jesus Christ and walked back to the boat and never have gone down if he had kept his eyes upon the Lord. But you see, the tragedy is this. Where we lose the victory is this. We get our eyes of the Lord, and we get our eyes perhaps on other things, or maybe on other people. And when we get our eyes upon them, and they disappoint us, or they let us down, or they fail us, or my friend, let me tell you, they're not what we think they are, or thought that they are, and let me tell you, we get disappointed, and we get our eyes upon them, and down we go. We start sinking in despair, into doubts, into fear. All of the devil boy, he'll rush in and he'll get you down. He'll want to cover you over and make you sink. But that command of the Lord was his enablement. He stepped out on the promise because Jesus said, come. That was a promise. The Lord wasn't mocking him. The Lord meant him to come to him. So he stepped out on the promise, and immediately he stepped out of that boat on the promise, he went to the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, let me tell you, he was walking in victory. In the power of the word and the command of the Lord, and he did not sink until he got his eyes on the wind and his eyes on the storm. And he could hear the wind. And he could see the waves lashing about him. And he took his eyes of the Lord. And the moment he took his eyes of the Lord, he began to sing. Now let me tell you, my friend, the moment he realized his situation, notice he didn't try to swim back to the boat, because he knew that that was useless. Notice he didn't cry out to the disciples who were in the boat, because they were useless. He cried out, Lord, save me. Three simple words, friend. He cried out, listen, he meant it from the depths of his being. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Now, there was a simple cry, but it was in the right place. It was in the right place. He didn't need a long prayer, let me tell you, or he'd been swallowing the water. But praise God, he just simply cried out from the depths of his soul, and God answered his prayer. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he caught him. And let me tell you, the winds didn't cease, the waves didn't stop lashing around him, friend, until he got back to the boat. Because let me tell you, the Lord just didn't stop. The Lord could have stopped the wind right then. The Lord could have stopped and hushed the waves right then, but he didn't. Because he was showing Peter, you can walk even through the storm with me in victory. And let me tell you, that's a message for each and every one of our hearts today. You and I can walk through the storms of life in victory. When we keep our eyes upon the Lord, it's when we take our eyes of the Lord and we look at the winds and the waves or others, we begin to sink. Now, here's a question. Whose eyes are you upon today? Where's your eyes this morning? Are you looking to the Lord and walking in victory even through the storms of life, friend? Or are you looking at others, and let me tell you, you're disappointed, you're downcast, you're disheartened, you're despondent, and my friend, you're about to sink in the midst of all of that. We've got to get our eyes back on the Lord. And I can tell you, God says, call unto me and I will answer thee. But God's not finished. Notice the rest of the verse. God says, I'm going to show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, far beyond you could ever imagine. You see, God is an abundant God, friend. He's not a mingy God. God is an abundant God. He gives abundant life. Thank God he answers prayer abundantly, above all we could ever ask or even think. Now, that's what it says in his word. But I asked you and me this morning, have you proved God like that? Have you really put God to the test? You know what God says? He says, bring your tithes into the storehouse. And God says, prove me. Prove me now. God's not afraid of you putting them to the test. But let me tell you, my friend, if you're going to prove God, you better be willing to go with God. You better be walking in obedience. Don't you think, well, I'll prove God and I'll just put him to a test, but I'll walk in my own way. No, no, friend. You've got to walk in fellowship with God for God to answer that prayer. See, the word of God says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship the one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You cannot and I cannot walk in sin, friend, and walk in rebellion to God and expect God to show us the great and mighty things. We've got to walk with him. And God says, follow me. Come with me. And that's what he allowed Peter to do. Walk back to the boat. Now you say, but hold on a wee second. That's all right. But you know, that's when circumstances... It's easy to do that when circumstances are great, brother. Let me ask you this, my friend. Have you studied the book of Jeremiah? Do you know, Jeremiah even taught the exiles, listen to this carefully. Jeremiah taught the exiles in Babylon it was their responsibility to pray for the peace of the place they found themselves in, the peace of Babylon. I think that's hard. Because Babylon, let me tell you, it was the capital city of the conquerors. And God said, listen, through Jeremiah, you need to pray. You say, well, where'd you get that? Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 4, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take you wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. I tell you, it's not easy to pray for your enemies, is it? All right, praying for your friends. Not easy to pray for your enemies. But let me tell you, friend, God said, listen, I'm asking you to seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. Let me tell you, why? Why? Because they were not there by accident, friend. They were there by God's appointment. And when you realize that there are no accidents with God, friend, but there are appointments with God, then you can find a peace even in the midst of the greatest storm. When you realize that God is in sovereign control, even in the most difficult circumstances, let me tell you, Daniel was in a den of lions, and he could go to sleep. Why? Because there was not only lions there, there was God who created the lions, and he was far greater. Joseph was down in a pit, my friend. Joseph, let me tell you, was also in a prison, being persecuted for his godly stand, for the things of God, and for doing right. He was there under very difficult circumstances, but I tell you, he never lost his peace. No record of him losing his peace. He was content to be because he knew that whatever his circumstance was, there were no accidents with God, there were only appointments. And even though the children of Israel were there in Babylon, and as far as the Babylonian army was concerned, I can tell you they sought to destroy the children of Israel, not only to conquer them, but to destroy and dishearten them and make them despondent. And God says, let me tell you, you pray. You pray for the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof, listen, ye shall have peace. In the peace thereof, ye shall have peace. You will have contentment, let me tell you, whilst there is peace around you. Thank God, there will be peace within you. Now, he can give me peace even in the midst of the storm. And that, so therefore, Jeremiah was a man of prayer. The man of prayer in the day of crisis. In the day of difficulty. And in the book of Jeremiah, friend, you'll find passages concerning formal petitions. We have that in chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, chapter 11, verse 20. We also have passages containing instruction about prayer. Chapter 29, verses 12 to 14. We read that a few moments ago before I preached. Also, we have passages concerning requests for prayer, those that requested prayer. Then we have passages containing the prayers of the repentant remnant. And then, of course, there's something else. We have passages concerning a command from Jehovah God to Jeremiah to stop praying. And God says, don't pray. Friend, that's the only time you stop praying, is when God says it. The sad reality is that many of God's people have stopped praying because the devil has entered in. It's nothing to do with God. God didn't tell you to stop praying about that thing. But my, the devil has so discouraged you. The devil has so much got into your heart and so much got into your mind and circumstances that you've stopped praying. And yet God says, call unto me. Call unto me and I will answer thee. What more can you get from God, friend? What more do you need? Call unto me and I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things. But you know not. In Jeremiah, you will find references to these words. Cry, plead, pray, make intercession, wait upon, open one's cause, reveal one's cause, or inquire of God. Those are all things that God tells you to do in the book of Jeremiah. Now we can start this morning. Just let's look at the circumstances of his praying. Because you say, you know, all right, Jeremiah had different circumstances. But if Jeremiah had been in my circumstance, you can understand how I feel. Oh, I tell you, you better read the book of Jeremiah and you see his circumstances and you'll understand how he felt. He felt the need to pray. His circumstances were so dire, he realized the only answer was prayer. And yet sometimes the old devil says to me, and says to you, listen, you're in this difficult circumstance. You shouldn't pray. You don't need to pray. And they stopped it. The circumstances are, what was the thing that drove Jeremiah to his knees in prayer? And I have to ask this question also to our own hearts this morning. What will it take God to do to drive us to our knees in prayer? Because let me tell you, God can bend our knees. And God can break us. And God can bring us to an end of ourselves that, let me tell you, realize that there's nowhere else to go but pray. What was the thing that drove Jeremiah to his knees in prayer? And what should drive us to our knees? As we look around and see the awful detention that's about us, let me tell you, friend, our country, spiritually and morally, it's rotting before our eyes. But who really cares? Our children are facing challenges that the older generation never had to face, both in education and also employment and all of these things. And being a Christian, it's not easy. And to take a stand for God, my friend, the old devil will try to destroy the child of God. But it hasn't driven us to the knees of prayer because the prayer meeting's empty. So what will it take? The honest before God, what will it take for God to drive me? And you see, it's easy to simply denounce the trends and the days that we're living in. We're so caught up with, not with spiritual things today, let's be honest, materialism has taken over. Materialism has taken over many people and many of God's people's lives. And they're more concerned of what they have and what they own than they are about where their children are with God. They're more concerned about their child getting education and salvation. Friend, that's serious. That's serious. More concerned about where will they work tomorrow than what they would do about where they'll be in God's eternity, whether it be heaven or hell. Now, it's important to teach our children to work. That is important. We need to teach our children to that by the sweat of our brow we earn our bread. It's so important for to encourage them and direct them and all of those things. But I can tell you this, you and I need to do business with God first and foremost on our knees, that God will save them and that God will keep them from the evil. Our greatest need, and I believe, and our greatest work will be done on her knees before God in prayer. The time of Jeremiah, it was a time of constant rebellion against God. Turn to chapter 32. In chapter 32, in verse number 17, chapter 32, verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great and mighty God, the God of hosts, or the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing, which hath set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, among other men, and hast made them a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. You see, my friend, what Jeremiah was doing here in prayer, as he was praying, he rehearsed the goodness and the grace of God to the land of Israel. God had been good. God has been good to the land of Israel, and God has blessed it. And he looks over the record of the land of Israel and the hand of God and what God has done on their behalf and for them. But how did they reward him? What did they do in reply? It says here, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, it was a day of constant rebellion. And I tell you, my friend, when you look at the story of Jeremiah, as he looked at the rebellion of the children of Israel and of Judah, it grieved him. It grieved him. The sin of the nation grieved him. Now, when we look around us today and see the sin of our nation and the sin of this generation, I ask then the question, does it grieve us? Or how much does it grieve us? Does it grieve us enough to do business with God and realize that we need to turn to God because only God can intervene in such a day like this? It was a day of constant rebellion. Notice something else. It was a day of callous refusal. Go back to chapter 5 in the book of Jeremiah. In chapter 5 of the book of Jeremiah, it says this in verse number 2, and though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to turn. What rebellion, what refusal. In spite of all the faithful ministry of the prophets of God, friend, they would not repent. But what did they do instead? Instead of realizing, friend, their sin before God, they were not grieved. They refused to repent. They made their faces harder than a rock. They refused to turn. Then turn to chapter 15. In chapter 15, if you go to verse number 15, it says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me off my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. What did they do, friend? Instead of repenting, they turned on the prophet of God. They ridiculed the prophet rather than repenting of their sin. You see, that's a lot easier, isn't it? It's a lot easier to turn on the prophet of God or the preacher of God, friend, than it is for to have your heart broken before the Lord. I'll tell you, there was a man whose heart was broken. It was Jeremiah. The man of God's heart was broken because of the sin of the nation. Not only was there this constant rebellion, friend, not only was this callous refusal, but there was a costly retribution. Ah, listen. Jeremiah realized this, that there's a cost for sin. And he realized that judgment was inevitable, that judgment was coming. And that drove Jeremiah to his knees. And that was one of the times, friend, that's when God says, Jeremiah, stop praying. Stop praying. And three times God told Jeremiah not to pray. Jeremiah knew the just judgment of God was approaching, friend, and he sought God in prayer, seeking to avert the judgment that was coming. And then God says, Jeremiah, stop praying. Judgment is coming. And friend, it did come. It did come. And the people of Judah, they were carried into Babylon. They were carried into bondage. Yes, judgment did come. And there comes a time, friend, when God says, that's it. As I've said before, God can say to the sinner that thinks he can go on in a sin, he can mock God and just do whatever he likes, and God said, party's over. Party's over. And friend, men and women can be cut off. God said, that's it. That's enough. God says in the book of Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And if you're in this service this morning and you're unconverted and you have been playing around, friend, because God has spoken to your heart and God has challenged you concerning your need of salvation, but you're still going on in your sin, I'll tell you this, you're in dangerous territory. You say, but God hasn't stopped me until... Listen, don't throw the challenge out to him, friend. It's with the Lord's mercies you're not being consumed. But I can tell you, God can say enough's enough. That's why the book of God says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's the circumstances of his praying. We're going to come back next Lord's Day morning, and we're looking in the prayers. We're going to notice, secondly, the characteristics of his praying. And then we'll look at the content of his praying. You see, prayer had a vital part to play in the life of Jeremiah. What about you and me? The Word of God says, pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. God give us a desire today as we have never had, to make that prayer that the disciples asked the Lord Jesus to teach them. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this morning, and we pray that thou wilt write that word upon each and every one of our hearts. I thank thee, O God, for the lesson that we have already seen here and been taught as we have opened the scriptures. Realize that the conditions of Jeremiah's day is no different than ours. The challenges that Jeremiah faced, we faced in this day and generation, and even, Lord, sometimes we even feel even more. But we thank thee that thou hast still said in thy word, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. And Lord, today with our hearts, help us to pray, Lord, please, teach me to pray and then show me the great and mighty things which I have never experienced before. Lord, answer the prayers of your people. Thou knowest today that there are burdens in the hearts of your people. Thou knowest, our God, perhaps there are mothers that are praying for their wayward sons and fathers that are praying for their wayward children. Father, I pray that thou would answer prayer for our children, for our homes, for our families. Help us, Lord, not to listen to the devil that you're not hearing, or, Lord, you're not listening, you're not answering. Lord, I pray that we might do as the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Give us that faith today, that, Lord, thou hast not denied the prayers of thy people, but, Lord, thou hast told us to wait. But thou art answering in thy way and in thy time. Give us the patience just to wait before thee. Hold on to thee, not lose heart. Cheer up, my brother, sister, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Lord, answer prayer. Bless thy people throughout this day. And Lord, help us to pray as we have never prayed before. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Amen.